Go ahead and open up to John 14. Could you tell Sunday was different? And I was seeking the Lord about tonight's service. And, as a teacher, I'm thinking, what revelation do you want to present, you know? And anymore, I don't get too concerned if he doesn't show me ahead of time. I've become like a library now. I'm just a library with legs. I have these revelations, you know, that I've got stored on the inside after all these years, and I've learned to trust him. That if he wants to teach, he knows who's there. He knows your problems. He knows what you're facing more than I do. And I trust him to just pull whatever volumes off the shelf he wants and present that to you in a format that's understandable. So I've learned to be... Actually, I'm more comfortable with that now than I am with prepared lessons ahead of time. Although it's sometimes like the lessons from the manna, when it's something I'm not all that familiar with myself, then he'll allow me to do some of that. Well, I was seeking him about that tonight, and I wasn't getting anything. And again, that's not all that unusual. And then suddenly he reminded me of Sunday morning. And I got to talk with Tim a little bit about Sunday. And his take on it, he says, I think Sunday was a new beginning. I mean, it was something else. The 8:30 service, the Holy Spirit kept taking my mind so far. I wasn't sure if it was coherent. I didn't know if it was making any sense. Now, some people afterwards, I never know if they're just being nice to me, if they really liked it. People tend to be nice to me, and I appreciate that. But they said it really blessed them. And then Dave comes out, and that anointing falls. And those songs, I don't know about you guys, I'm sitting over there with just tears just running off my chin. I mean, it's just amazing. Then that strong anointing came, and then prophecies came. So, preparing for tonight's service, the Holy Spirit reminded me that, and he says, I want you to read those prophecies again, the ones that came through Gary, me, and the ones that came through Dave. So I was looking at them again before the service. Now, before we even read that, I brought them with me. I'm going to read them to you. John 14. Okay. See, because what's happening now I can tell it in the 8:30 services, and I can tell it even tonight. Oh, the other thing he said about tonight, it's family night. So I'll just get to talk to you. Is that okay? You know, the ones that are here on Wednesday night, you're really family for sure. Everybody is, but... Okay. Because see, what's happening, we've been down the born-again trail long enough now, and there's enough foundation laid in you, that the next step towards revival is learning now how to walk with the Holy Ghost. The new nature that God gave us is really, you could take the law from the Old Testament as being the type and the shadow of the main function, one of the main functions of the new nature. How was God going to cause a spiritually dead people to walk different from the whole world? Well, at that time they could not be born again. That wasn't available till after the cross to receive a new nature. So what God did, he basically gave them the law with blessings and cursings attached that would encourage them strongly. If they wanted to have God's blessing, it would greatly encourage them, you better do what this law says. Now, to the point, like, under that law system, if you were contemplating whether or not you were going to commit adultery, you weren't just contemplating whether you're going to commit adultery, you had to contemplate the consequences. Because if you get caught, we're not talking a slap on the wrist. We're talking they're going to stone you to death. Same with many other things. Now, every parent understands this basic principle when you're raising children. You know, the godly way is spare not the rod. If you love your child, deliver his soul from hell, it says. Now, that rod is the Hebrew word is a slender reed, like a switch. Does not mean a steel pipe, thank you very much. Switch them. Deliver their soul from hell, it says. You know, you understand this in the most basic thing. Please go clean your room. If they do what you tell them, things go well with them, right? Things go well. Now, I was raised by O.R. Carpenter. I love my dad, but let me tell you, in his prime, I mean, still nobody messes with him. He's 85 years old now. Broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip. Nobody doesn't give no lip to O.R. You ought to have seen him when he was 35. That is a man's man now. I wanted things to go well with me. Okay. Because if I did not obey, there was a, quote, curse coming. I not only had to consider, you know, the action, what I was thinking about doing, I had to consider the consequences. And they were not going to be mild. Okay? Well, that's God's plan. Every parent understands this, raising children. Now, hopefully, you hope by the time they're 40, you hope they grow up someday and you're not still having to bribe them to go clean their room. Or threaten them with, you know, I'm going to take the phone away from you or something. Not when they're, hopefully they're not in your house when they're 40 anyway. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, he's got a purpose for all this, just reminding us of some basic things. The born-again trail, we understand all that now about the law. That's why God had to give them the law. That's how he caused them to walk in his ways. Now, thank God, we have something a lot better. What he did for us, he could not do for them. That's why it says in Hebrews, all those men of faith, you read all through chapter 11, goes down through all the what we call the hall of faith, Noah, Abraham, Moses, right on that David, women too, Sarah, Rahab, right on down through there. All these people of faith. And it finally at the conclusion, he says, none of these received the promise. God having some better thing for us. What is that better thing? We are living on the other side of the cross, on this side of the cross. God didn't give us an external law. He gave us an internal law. Romans 8 calls it, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a nature. If you're truly born again, there is a nature on the inside of you. Nobody has to preach to you it's wrong to steal. I say all the time, if you go to a church service and the message that day was don't steal, and if that's news to you, like, who would have thought? You need to go up at the altar call and get saved. Because nobody has to preach that to you. When you get born again, when that nature from God comes on the inside of you, I mean from the get-go, you've got a voice from that day forward. You've got a, whether you actually hear a voice, but it communicates. It's called a conscience. And you know exactly what it means. You didn't hear it with your physical ear, but boy, you get the message. And it says all kinds of things to you all the time, doesn't it? Don't steal. Don't gossip. Don't this, don't lie, don't this. God gave us a new nature. And then he also gave us the Holy Spirit who's come to mature that new nature. The more we spend time with the Holy Ghost, because even Jesus said, he said it comes in like a grain of mustard seed. It's in there. But it's like when you first get born again, very often it's like the smallest seed in the garden. But if you learn how to nurture that thing, you learn how to water it with the Holy Ghost, you learn how to take care of it, let the Holy Ghost nurture that thing, that new nature has the power to change us, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, into the same image as Jesus Christ the Lord. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that, say it out loud, same image. God! Religion will always hate those two words. Religion, and I'm talking about the dead kind. I've had many close encounters with religion of the dead kind. There was a movie I saw in a Radio Shack window, etc. You know how it goes. Same image.
Yeah.
None diminished. We're going to get to that lesson here before conference. None diminished. The Holy Ghost, the Lord told me one time.
Hallelujah. Woo.
Same image.
Amen.
And see, we see that. We see Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see Him growing up from the time He was little. And see, He was born with that nature from the get-go. He was born with it. He's maturing. It says He grew in wisdom and stature and was blessed of God, you know. But by the time we see Him at roughly age 30, when He's coming up to be baptized by John in the River Jordan, boy, now here we have Son of Man, Son of God. The nature on the inside, He never even had to be reprogrammed, you know, when our mind has to be renewed. Because we were trained, whatever. I didn't get saved till I was 33. So my mind was programmed by a death nature for 33 years. You reckon the Holy Ghost had any unprogramming to do? But think about Jesus. He never had to be reprogrammed. He was born with a spiritual capacity to understand the things of God. As a child, the Holy Ghost could instruct him. By the time we see Him walking up to that River Jordan for John to baptize Him, we're seeing the full-grown, fully mature, manifested Son of the living God in human flesh. I just can't hardly... About to do the Daisy and the Andy both right now. I'm telling you what. Glory to God. Man. But what amazes me and what the Holy Ghost is so bringing during this... I can't get away from this... He's going, but now notice, even though He's the fully mature, how many of y'all think you've still got some maturing to do for the, yeah, me too, duh, you know? But He's fully mature. There's nothing left for Him to grow to. And He has not done one miracle yet. Not one. Why? Because the new nature is not given for that purpose. The new nature is given for the same reasons that God gave that new nature in the Old Testament. That is what keeps you holy.
Amen.
As you yield to the new nature, we've been talking about the yielded soul. We've been talking about hide not your soul from His voice, because that nature is doing its best to change you. And we keep wanting revival. Say, God, can't You just give us revival and leave us alone? He has in the past. And pretty much the kind of healing revivals and things we've seen were the outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit. And I respect those men even as I say what I'm about to say. But you'd see them. Elaine Homer said it best. She grew up in this. I really didn't. But she says, what I never could understand, I'd watch these men. She's been in this from the time she was a teenager, singing on the sawdust trails as they'd have those tent revivals. She said, I saw things that were unmistakably miracles of God. I'd watch those men go out there and in the name of Jesus do miracles and empty wheelchairs. And I've seen every kind of miracle from the time I was little. But what I couldn't understand is how they could go and be used by God like that and then after the service come back and try and molest me. Gifts do not equal maturity. In fact, the gifts of the Spirit, if you really read 1 Corinthians, where we read all about that in 12, He plainly tells the Corinthian church, you're a bottle-sucking baby bunch. I can't even give you any ground meat, much less a T-bone steak. All I can give you is milk. Yet you come behind in no gift. And to that church is where we have most of our information about the gifts. You know why? Gifts are for babies. We've had it exactly opposite. That's how they could go out and operate in miracles and the gift of healings. Because He's got nobody else there that'll believe Him. And He wants to heal people. He wants to get people out of wheelchairs and open blind eyes. This person may be carnal as a $3 watch, but at least he'll operate and believe God. I believe God can get him out of the wheelchair. I'll use you then. Yeah, but right after that, I'm going to sell a $300 prophecy. God goes, but it's all I've got to work with. Now, Alan probably ought to be teaching this message because from where he's sitting, and I don't mean normal. I do not mean normal at all. Don't you even imply it. Don't think I mean that. I just mean from where he has been, he has seen so many more ministries than I have. I'm about maybe putting him on the spot. I'm not looking at Alan there. But just from what I've seen. But what God's wanting to do, yes, quit him, I said that. We're not, that kind of revival is not what God's after. God is after a revival. This one is not going to end. This is the reason he wants to merge wealth and media so that when this revival breaks out, the whole world can watch it because God's not too worried. Well, not that he'd worry anyway. The scandals are not going to follow the revival.
Amen.
This bunch is not going to run off with the money. This bunch is not going to run off with the secretary. Male or female. Shandai. So God's, I can see it real plain. The first thing, he had to take us down the born again trail. We had to understand who we are, where we're from, why we're here. So he's been bringing us down that path. But I'm telling you, it's like we're coming up to the River Jordan and we're about to be baptized in something. And I know we're all already baptized in the Holy Ghost. I understand. I can Shandai along with you. But also, what I know is there is an anointing coming. The Holy Spirit has prophesied about it and prophesied about it and prophesied it to the point. One of the ones I'm really looking forward to, the Holy Ghost, we have this promise from heaven in this church. There is an anointing coming that will instantly set drug addicts free. Now, tell me that's not worth paying a little price in prayer. Tell me that's not worth some pushing away from the dinner table. Tell me that's not worth some time alone with the Holy Ghost. We're coming up to some kind of a baptism, and I'm not trying to be doctrinal. I'm trying to tell you what I see. Just like Jesus walked up there and he says, I mean, he's already the full-blown, fully mature Son of God. But he's not doing any miracles. It's the Holy Ghost is the miracle worker. Holy Ghost is the molecule changer. We're coming into some kind of new walk, new awareness, new fellowship, one-on-one, where you and the Holy Ghost are walking together like Jesus and the Holy Ghost walk together. When you speak, stuff happens. Glory to God. And once again, it's God saying, let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. The Holy Ghost, who was he talking to when back in Genesis? Let them have dominion. Who's God's talking to somebody? Who is supposed to let them? Who's supposed to do that? God the Father conceived it. God the Son, the Word, spoke it. God the Holy Ghost is the one that enforced it. We're coming into some kind of baptism, some kind of new walk, some kind of something where it's going to be let them have dominion. Now, positionally, we've had it for a long time. But now, see this one, he is wanting us to be somewhat mature, not just a quote gifts revival. I don't know how else to put that. Not just the gifts. It is going to be the gifts. Hey, you're going to see the gift of healing, the working of miracles. We're going to see more blind eyes open. We're going to see all of that. But this time it's going to be, again, those things flowing through some mature children for a change. Is that all right? Now, I am going to get to, I know you don't think I'm going to. I am going to read out of Romans 14. No, John 14. John 14. But he's just taking me right now. In fact, I can see now how he's summarizing those messages from Sunday. See, because that first leadership comes. Can you see we're not going to do that without walking pretty close to the Holy Ghost? Well, then, so reviewing a couple of the recent messages, Romans, now you don't need to turn there, but it's Romans 8:14. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And in the King James, it's a capital S, indicating that it's talking about you being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, there is a leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's the very thing that we're really after. But in that context, in that verse, it's really a little S. And I didn't really understand. I heard Dave teach that. And I studied it and I came to the place where I agreed and I believed it. But I still didn't understand the ramifications of what that meant for a long time. Boy, I've got it now. There is an automatic qualifier, or you could say disqualifier, for those who will walk in this revival anointing and those who won't. Because if you're really after the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're going to first have to yield to the leadership that comes from that new nature on the inside. The type and shadow from the Old Testament would be, if you don't keep my law, I'm going to boot you out of the land like I booted this other bunch out of the land. If you don't keep my law. Now, for them, they had a written law. For us, we have an internal law.
Come on.
We have a law that proceeds out of that new nature. And he says, you think you're going to live in constant violation of that? And walk together with my Holy Spirit?
No,
you're going to learn to yield yourself to that new nature I put on the inside of you, even if that means more change. We're coming to the prophecies that came Sunday. For all of the year 2003, mostly everywhere I went, I taught one message in about six parts. And it's called Changing Chronic Things. Changing Chronic Things. It's already one of them that we've got free at the website. If you have access to the internet, it's already there for free. If you don't have access to the internet, we'll give you a set for free. You're not going to stand before Jesus and it be my fault. My hands are going to be clean. You understand? I said, Lord, I made it to them available, and they could afford it. Aaron goes, Daddy, no. It's so much work for them. Well, that'll teach all three of our daughters try to go to hell on us. They're working in the ministry now. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm starting to see these pieces of the puzzle, and I'm going, okay, those that are led by the Spirit, little s, the new nature, they are the sons of God. And there's several Greek words that could be used there for child or son. That one is the mature son. It's the same one they used at like a bar mitzvah. You know, a bar mitzvah they have at age 13, and it's like a celebration. Our child who was a child, now we declare and we're openly having this celebration that now our son has become a man ready, let's say mature enough to participate in the family business. That's what it is. We're coming into our bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's not that we're not his children. It's not that he hasn't given us his nature. It's not that he hasn't given us his spirit. But he's trying to bring us into a bar mitzvah, a maturity, a celebration. Saying, you guys are about ready to participate in the family business. And this business, the bottom line is souls. The bottom line is getting people delivered, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? All right, well now, boy, if you haven't found John 14 by now, I don't know what to tell you. It's no wonder that the enemy has fought the baptism in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. It's no wonder that he has fought those things almost, you could have to almost say, harder than he has the cross. I know a lot of churches where they still preach the cross. I grew up in those kind of churches. You can literally get saved there. But boy, you'll never get baptized in the Holy Ghost there. And you'll never speak with tongues there. You'll never develop that kind of walk with the Holy Spirit that what we're after. And I see now why. If he can separate you from the only one, the only, I hate to say person because he's God, but he is a person, the person of the Holy Ghost. If religion can separate you from the training that only he is qualified to bring, then he has pretty much effectively shut out the supernatural ministry of Christ from your life. There is no one else qualified. Dave can, really what Dave does and what I do and what all true ministers of the gospel do, really, none of us are really your teachers, even though they put that name on us. And you know, it's in the Bible. We're all pointing you to the teacher. I don't know how many times I get requests, you know, and I understand what they mean. Gary, could you like mentor me? I'm sure Dave gets those same kind of letters. You don't understand it yet. We're trying to get you in touch with your mentor. You have a mentor who is God. God the Holy Ghost. And he has infinite time for you.
Amen.
Infinite time. as far as God the Holy Ghost is here, is concerned, He's here. The only person He's here for is Helena. I mean, His full-time, 24-7, even when she's asleep, He's trying to teach her through dreams, you know, get it to her, get it to her, you know. But see, and He's only here for Helena. Thing of it is, He's only here for B. Because He's God and He's infinite and He's omnipresent and there's no end to Him. He is each one of our 24-7 personal, sent from heaven mentor to take you from whatever shabby condition you're in to set you squarely on the path. That if He says, if you will trust Me, you will not fail to fulfill the fullness of your calling. I know what your calling is. I know where you are now. I know where you've got to be. I know the things that's got to change. And those other people, they don't know. Why listen to them when you can listen to the Holy Ghost? Amen. Glory to God. And big part of what we do is teaching tapes and stuff. I'm not saying don't get those. But if they're not pointing you ultimately to the Holy Ghost yourself, you think you're going to learn this from Dave, do you? You can learn some things from Dave. But Dave cannot give you his relationship with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
See, Sue's always busy when Cole's here. Come here, baby. Let him see how pretty you are. My blessed man or what? Glory to God. Now most of, and I know I've used this example before and it's okay. Most of y'all have met Sue. Hey Sue. And they like Sue and y'all know her. If you see her, you might have a conversation with her, you know. Some of you, you know, maybe we've had a meal with, maybe we've had picnics here at the church and things, you know. But see, I started carrying Sue's books in the 8th grade. I'm still carrying them today, if y'all don't notice. My relationship with Sue, even though you may have a good one, is a little bit different than yours. And no matter how much, we could have a Sue class where you come and I teach you about Sue. No, she's saying right now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. No. But the point is this, you could come to you till forever, and I still... You can't attend a class and me be able to give you my relationship with Sue. I developed my own relationship with Sue. Glory to God. Give her a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's the way it is with God. Dave can teach you some things about the Holy Ghost and about God. I can teach you some things. But ultimately, we're pointing you to be with God. You got to develop your own relationship with the Holy Ghost. You know, here sandele brato miste carabasto sandele breco bule liste kundate lo brastero. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Coramastole quito. Carashite de brato. Now, it's really not like this, but it's the only way I think that he can communicate this to us. See, really, how do I say that? Kuda meste lokute. See, we know he knows everything. But to you, it'll be like this. As you walk with him, not only are you going to find out what he'll do, but to you, it's going to seem like he's going to find out what you'll do. Now, ultimately, he already knows what you'll do in any situation. First off, that can change. But secondly, what's going to happen as you walk with him and develop a real relationship with him? Just like somebody could call me and start telling me that they saw Sue with a big stick running down our street, whapping little kids on the head with it. And I'd go, liar, liar, pants on fire. I don't care if you and 12 witnesses say you saw that. I know Sue. That's not her. She doesn't do that. Okay? Well, you're going to develop that kind of relationship with the Holy Ghost that no matter what religion says that is a lie, you're going to go, no, that's not the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost. But the part that I was having trouble saying, now, it's going to be from your point of view. Like you're going to develop a confidence that he trusts you to do. And that's really more like where faith comes from. That's good stuff. I'm going to get this tape. It's a confidence. As you and him develop this relationship, it's a confidence that you come to a knowing that he trusts you. See, most really when it comes down to it, none of us are accusing the Holy Ghost. At least I hope you're not. And we're really not. Where the faith killer is because we know us. The faith killer is our part of this deal. He's telling me, I don't know that I've heard this exactly this way before, but he's telling me, if you walk with him and listen to him and start obeying him on the little things, you'll develop a confidence that when he speaks to you, he can trust you. And that is a big faith builder. That's going to have something big to do with faith. And the Holy Ghost, you might as well know this, he flows into faith. He flows into faith. We could get into the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus, in his humanness, not his divinity, in his humanness, she came up and she touched him. And healing virtue went into her body. And Jesus turns around, and he's not kidding when he says, "Who touched me?" In his humanity, he didn't know who it was. What does that tell you? It wasn't his faith. It was her faith that drew the power, the healing power of the Holy Ghost right out of Jesus' body. Her faith. Glory to God. There's a confidence that's going to come. That when you act, that kind of flow is going to come through your hands into the people. There's some kind of confidence coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But it's coming from a level of maturity. I still haven't read out of John 14, have I? Well, Jesus was teaching the disciples again, and he was telling them that he was about to be glorified and go into heaven. And of course, they're going, "Well, what are we supposed to do now? We've been following you for three and a half years. If you go to heaven, how will we know what to do? Are you just going to leave us like orphans?" And this is where he introduces the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless." And the real Greek word there is orphanos. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. "Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, and you shall live also." Now come on over to chapter 16 and verse 12. I'm going to have to go a little quicker here if we're going to... Hallelujah. Now, still teaching about the Holy Spirit. Notice red. This is all big one message here. Red words. Jesus still talking. Now, verse 12 is a revelation. I mean, when the revelation in this verse went off in me one day, I shared this with Bronk, and it affected him the way it did me when it first hit me. He literally trembled and shook for a moment. And I've read it so many times, John 16, verse 12. He says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Now let's just stop for a moment. Here's the revelation. I'd read that 100 times like you have. Did it, and I knew why. He couldn't, the things of God, you have to have a spirit which is of God, in order to receive the things, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 will teach you that. These guys weren't born again yet. So Jesus is saying, "I've had to use parables. I've done everything I can to teach you. I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you. But until you're regenerated, until you're reborn, you have no capacity to understand those things. I have a lot of things I'd like to tell you. But they're going to have to wait till the Holy Spirit comes. One day I just shook. It dawned on me. I said, Bronk, you know what that means? These are the 12 guys. These are the guys that had been with him for over 3 years. I mean, they'd sat and talked in the evenings around the campfire, on the trails in between these villages. There's no telling the discussions that were said. But I'm telling you this, we have record of all these words. You know what he's telling them? Bronk, we could memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we still would not know those things that he's talking about right here. You're either going to receive them from the Holy Ghost, or you're not going to get them. Now, many of the things are in the epistles. I understand that. But when he talks about the real leadership, these guys had more than an epistle or relationship with Jesus. Jesus would come and give them instructions. He would come and talk to them. Do this, do that, change this, go over there. And he's going, this is more than a book fellowship. This is a one-on-one. And he's saying, I'm going to send you another comforter, just like me. Now, he's going to be able to tell you things in a whole new realm. I'd like to tell you those things now, but you absolutely haven't. You know what kind of things, Helena, I think they are? How do you take a loaf of bread? How do you take 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Now, they saw it with their own eyes. They were involved with it, the breaking of their hands and giving it out. And it multiplied in their hands. You do understand that? I mean, they left with this basket. And the basket just, as they break it and give it, it just keeps being full until they're done. In their own hands, this is happening. But now the Holy Ghost says, would you like to know how that happens? Would you like for me to talk to you about the physics from another world? How 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. Glory to God. Things that we really need to know. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. So can you, I got to close this now, he says. He knows how I am. We'll get too involved in it. So what's he saying? All right, he's saying, look, we're coming into a revival. It's going to be based on maturity this time. The gifts will flow, but they're going to flow through some mature children. Okay? And the first order of that leadership, those that are led by the new nature, let's say it that way. Let's say it this way. Those that come under dominion. Those who yield to the new nature. Those who take that yielded soul position. Those who quit hiding their soul from the new nature. They are the mature bar mitzvah sons and daughters of God. Now of sufficient maturity to participate in the family business. Only as that happens now do you come under the true leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because the amazing thing is that conscience, which is the voice of your new nature, is the same place in you where you hear that leadership of the Holy Spirit. And if we're constantly shutting the door to our conscience, the new nature. Like I have pictures of me nailing, I don't want to hear that anymore. Nailing boards over that door. I don't want to hear anything come through that door again. I want to do what I want to do. I like this and that and whatever. And the more I do that, then you come to that place where you have seared your conscience like with a hot iron. And boy, it's really hard to receive the leadership then that comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, all of that was introduction. Because now we're going to look at these prophecies. But I think they'll mean a whole lot more to you now. Now, I'm just going to do them in the order that they came in. And I happen to do the early service. Not all of these, but most of them. Okay, now I am going to read them all too. It's not that many, don't worry. So these came during the early service. And the first thing he said was this. And by the way, there's copies of both of these prophecies. There's the ones that came through me and another page that came through Dave. And Mary gave me the high sign that they're in the bookstore. You can have them after the service is over. And the Holy Spirit said, "For it is seasons, years of seasons, that I have been laying these foundations, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little for you. Brick by brick, stone by stone, layer by layer, I have placed a foundation under your feet. Those who were hungry, those who would listen, and those who would hearken. Now is not the season to relay that which has already been laid down. But now I am building walls. And I am placing ceilings and levels upon those walls. For I am building a structure now." Then he said to me personally, "Gary, don't relay that which I've already laid, but build. Build." All right, if you don't know the message, thank God the book is available. Thank God the tapes are available from Dave and ours. Amen. Then in a little while, the Holy Spirit spoke to the congregation saying this. Your problem is, and by the way, I'm going to read Dave's in a minute. And specifically, I had to know, Dave, did you hear the message did you hear these that came through me during the first service? And the answer is no, he did not. Somebody was back there. He was in a ministry time. So he didn't hear what the Holy Ghost spoke through me. And wait till you see how it's the same message, just different words. He says, your problem is not the things. Now this is the Lord talking to you now. Not me. No, he's talking all this. Says, your problem is not the things that you've not heard from me. Just let that sink in for a minute. Y'all remember me telling you about that young man that came to me years ago? Nice young man. The devil, he was really talented, and the devil was making a real play for his life. And God had him here trying to rescue him from the world. And he come to me one day and he says, "Pastor Gary," he says, "can you help me?" I said, "Well, I will if I can." He says, I said, "What's the matter?" He says, "I just can't hear God." And immediately the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask him this question. I said, "Well, when was the last time that you knowingly violated your conscience?" He said, "Last night." I was almost afraid to ask, you know, he's that age, you know, young man. And I said, "What happened last night?" You know. He said, "Well, it wasn't that big a deal." He says, "Just me and some buddies, we were going to go to a movie. And it wasn't an X-rated or really bad movie or anything. And on the way there, something on the inside of me said, don't go to a movie tonight. Tell your friends to go on. And you go on to the church and pray. I got some things to tell you." I said, "Well, what did you do?" "I went to the movie with my friends." And right then I heard the Holy Ghost say, and I told him, I said, "Young man, you don't have a problem hearing God. You have a problem obeying God." How are we going to mature? How could God bring Israel into their inheritance if they would not yield to the law? How is he going to bring us into this revival if we will not yield to the new nature? Now, it's not the law. Don't you let anybody put you back under the law of Moses. He's trying to bring us under the dominion of the new nature like Jesus was. Jesus totally sold out to that new nature. He wouldn't do anything apart from that new nature. And that's exactly where we are being changed into that same image. That's all. All right? So he says, your problem is not the things that you've not heard from me. Your problem is the things that you have heard from me, yet you hide your soul from obedience to that which I've already spoken. Now get this. I want you to know, remember this, because you're going to hear this in Dave's too. Bring yourself to me. I am your loving Father. I will help you obey me. Do y'all remember the grace lines, what the Holy Spirit said about the grace lines at the first of this year? You know, the way God, He just said it to me, you know, but He says, you know, if I offer my grace to help you, it would be in your best interest to get in the line to receive it. Well, I'm no rocket science, but I can understand that, you know, duh. He says, I am your loving Father, and I will help you obey me. I will help you with the change that needs to come to your life, says the Lord. But hide no longer your soul from my voice, even those things you've already heard. Look not so much in the realm of the mental, look in the realm of your conscience for those things I am speaking of now, says the Lord. All right, you got that? This is how it came through Dave, and he did not hear those prophecies. It's 10 o'clock service. The Lord said through Dave, for all that I have is yours, therefore receive. For even now, at this moment, I am blanketing you with my glory and with my healing power. Now listen. So surrender your heart to me and reach out. For nothing is impossible to him that believes. Therefore, doubt not with your heart and receive. Have I not given you my spirit? Has he not come to lead and to guide you into all truth? For is it not his active presence in you that brings you from a heart that cannot believe to a heart that can? Therefore, doubt not within yourselves, but determine in yourself that these things will not remain the same, and they will change, says the Lord. Does that sound like changing chronic things? These things will not remain the same. For he'll teach you to look in the place that I stand in your life, not where you stand nor where you came from, but where I presently stand within your life. And if you'll glorify me there, I will become those things to you, saith the Lord. You know, there was an early message that I heard from Norval Hayes back in the early 80s. And it came back to me Sunday night at Calling in the Lost. I said, we're going to have to go back and teach this old message again. Simple message. I think Norval was the first one I ever heard preach it. Jesus becomes to you whatever you call Him. If you call Jesus your Savior, He becomes Savior to you. If you call Him your healer and worship Jesus as your healer, He becomes healer to you. If you worship Him as your provider, your rich man, He becomes that to you. But if you worship Him as your, would you say, deliverer? Changer? The one who can change you like Peter going from a reed to a rock? Huh? You are my deliverer. You're the one that changes me, Jesus. You are my deliverer. I don't have to, say this with me. I don't have to stay the way I am. What has been is not what shall be. Glory to God. Changing chronic things. So let me read that part again. We're doing real good here. We got time. If you'll glorify me there, I will become those things to you, says the Lord. Then he said, for any surrender is truly received where you're at if it is totally surrendered. For the word too hard doesn't even come up, he said, in my vocabulary. He said, well, that's too hard. I can't change. Let me tell you about a recent one. Now, I told you before, I'll give you testimony about a changing chronic thing that happened to me in the year 2003. That a 42-year habit that was very... 40. Everyone say out loud, 42 years. 42. That's a spell. That's a spell, okay? I'd had that so long, even as a Christian. Even I was about to think, this is just the way it's going to be, you know. But no, because if you keep seeking God and you keep seeking God, I finally had another close encounter of the God kind where He come and talked to me, and I gave you that testimony already. Now, that one was hard. That one was real difficult. It was hard on me, okay? It took about a year and a half to really get rid of that chronic thing. In fact, the price was so hard that now I don't ever want to pay that price again. The odds of me going back, forget it, okay? It's like when I got delivered from alcohol in 1980, that's the last drink I ever had. I just ain't going to mess with that stuff no more. Been down that slippery slope, thank you. Don't need it. Doesn't have nothing good for my life anyway. I'm better off without it. Why mess with it? Okay, and I'm not putting you under conviction. I'm just telling you how it is. When I went to South Africa, they have wine with every meal. And it's fine. They're not getting drunk, I mean, or anything. The Bible says don't be drunk on wine. So I didn't want to, you know, they're offering it to me, and I just tell them the truth. Say, I've got an allergy to it. I have a reaction to that stuff that's not good. I mean, you wouldn't try and feed me peanuts if I was allergic to peanuts, would you? So I just tell them, I said, no, I have an allergic reaction to that stuff. You guys enjoy. I want to have Coke or something here. I have a cup of coffee. At that time, it was coffee. Well, that's what I'm about to tell you about. Now, y'all know, you've heard me talk about coffee all these years. And everyone tells me about how they've given up coffee, and I feel so sorry for them. I tell Dave all the time, you know, I said, Dave, it's the only deception I've ever seen you fall to. I mean, you had it right when I first came. When I first came, you plainly said, the tree of life, coffee bean tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, decaf. I said, you had it right. And then somebody got you over on this tea business, you know. And I've always said, if the Holy Ghost ever says anything to me about it, but He never did. I mean, I got from the honesty of my conscience, I'd tell you. Now, logically, I'd probably figure 4 or 5 pots of coffee a day is probably not too good for a guy. But I've been doing that for probably 30 years. I mean, I was a truck driver. What do you think? Before that, I was in the real estate business. We was up until late at night, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, hammering out those deals. Construction before that, work all day out in the sun. You know what it is, work out there all day in the sun, and then at night you got to bring the plans home and figure the jobs and all of that, and you're trying to stay awake. Am I ringing any, you know what I'm talking about? And the old coffee just keeps pouring because you're trying to stay awake, you know? Well, for 30 years, and the Holy Ghost didn't really say anything to me about it until Donner Bell came to my house one day. She's not here. I wish she was. She'd get a kick out of this because I didn't got to tell her yet. She wasn't getting on to me at all. She was just sharing her testimony. How many of you know there's an anointing on the words of Donner Bell? And there's an anointing. Somehow, while she's talking to me, the Holy Ghost gets it across to me that maybe I drink too much coffee. In fact, now, He didn't tell me I could never have any. He says, you know, normal humans have like 1 or 2 cups a day. You know? It's kind of the way it went, you know? And I'm going, they don't have 4 or 5 pots? I mean, I'm a real early riser. I got up at 4:30 this morning, okay? There's many a day I'd have 2 pots of coffee myself before Sue would ever get out of bed. And then we start having coffee. I'm just telling you how it is now. And God's been using me anyway. But he never said anything to me. But Donner's just talking with me and sharing some things, and really not with any idea of changing me. She's just sharing some stuff out of her own life. But there's an anointing that's penetrating directly to me. All I got to tell you, the next day, I had 2 cups of coffee that morning, the next morning. I thought, I'm going to make a pot of tea. I nearly rebuked that devil. And I went, I'm going to slap my own mouth. What? What? I said, I don't even know if we have tea in this house. And I made a pot of tea. I had to read the instructions on the box. I didn't know how to make tea. pretty good. Pretty good. And I want you to know, from that day till now, I don't think I've had more than maybe 3 cups in a day. And that's after 30 years, or at least 30 years. And I'm thinking, okay, the headaches are coming. I better get ready. I haven't had my first headache yet. There is an anointing. We're coming into something. This is so easy. I said, man, if I can just get this weight off, I'll be viceless. Glory to God. Not really. Okay, you know. There's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, that's my Baptist roots coming back anyway. Glory. Hallelujah. There's an anointing. There's something going on, people. Things that you, that where even you'd about given up. This is just the way I'm going to be, you know. Could be, and I'm not. She just happens to be sitting on the front row. I'm not preaching to her. things that you know, where we think, man, after 30 years, that's never going to change. After 42 years, that's never going to change. It's going to change. Yeah. And things that I got to be honest, and never in my whole life do I ever remember the Holy. I've heard a lot of people get on to me about my coffee, but I've never had the Holy Ghost ever say one word to me about it until Donner spoke. And I went, oh, it was just like somebody telling you information you never heard before. Normal people don't drink but 2 cups a day. It's like, I mean, it's that silly, but it was that simple. I went, oh, okay. Change done after 30 years. Hallelujah. Been the easiest thing ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're coming into something. He says, I will help you. I will help you. And I know these are just fleshly things. I mean, these are things that's easy to identify. The more difficult things down there. Unforgiveness. Selfishness. My ministry. I'm going to build my ministry. Instead of His ministry. And get my blessings. Instead of your life being a blessing to Him. Anyway. He'll bless you. Now, listen to this again. Oh, my. There's that lying clock again. We've got to get the devil out of that clock. Yeah, that's all there's there. For any surrender that is truly received, for any surrender is truly received where you're at, if it's totally surrendered. For the word too hard doesn't even come up. And that's where I thought to give you that testimony about the coffee. It's a piece of cake. There's nothing to it. Neither is there anything out of my reach, says the Lord, nor is there anything that you've done that has not been redeemed. As you surrender this part of your life, then I can add what you surrendered to the part that you're already walking with me, and I will reestablish your path. Only this time you'll go down the right path. You'll not take the fork and you'll go down the right path. For have I not spoken to you much of my leadership? Now, the way this came, now listen to this. The way he said it through me was, look not so much in the realm of the mental, look in the realm of your conscience. Dave didn't have a clue that those words were spoken. And here it says it this way, have I not spoken to you much of my leadership? Listen to your heart. Listen, not your head. Listen to your heart. For the time is here when many, many hearts will return. Much false teaching will come forward. For many, many men and persons will be held in admiration. For this is the day of media, when whatever voice can be heard around the world in the shortness of time. This is the time prophesied of from the beginning of time. Therefore, be you strong and follow my leadership. For I have things for you that are bigger than you. But they are not bigger than you and I together. Glory to God. Y'all remember the parable of Grandpa Corn Seed? Little old corn seed coming up here, gray hair, you know, on a cane, elderly. You know? And he come up to see the fruit of his life. And they have to kind of lead him up on a cane, this little elderly little corn seed, you know. And he come and said, this is what you produced. This is what came out of you. And he's looking, and it's a green plant right at harvest time, and he starts looking up and looking up, and looking up to him. It's about the size of the Empire State Building, looking at the top of that thing. And he's going, "You got to be crazy. That couldn't have come out of me. Look at me. I'm about a quarter inch square. I'm yellow, kind of yellowish white. That thing is green and taller than the Empire State Building." They said, "Oh, we didn't say it came from you. We said it came out of you. God put that image on the inside of you. But when you let Him have His way with it, what it produced was way bigger than you." Then I understood a lot better how our Father does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. I have things for you that are bigger than you, but they're not bigger than you and I together. So therefore, rise up and be strong and establish yourself in victory with me, that we might move forward together. I'm just going to finish this up so it'll be on the tape. This was the last prophecy that came through Dave Sunday. It says, "For when the man-made systems begin to fail and will not provide that which they hunger for, neither will their thirst be quenched." Get this line. For what many thought was the hard path will be the path that has the answers. Did you hear that? What many thought was the hard path will be the path that has the answers. So be you therefore strong and walk not the way of the world, but walk with me. Now, what did He give us? Like He gave Israel the law so they would walk different from the world. What did He give us? He gave us that new nature. Now He's saying, yield to it. Yield. Bow. Yield your soul to it. Don't hide your soul. Look at that conscience again. "I'll help you," says the Lord. "I'll help you. Walk not the way of the world, but walk with me. For you will find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth and crying when all those things begin to fail the people who trusted in them the most. Therefore, stand ye by with me. Now, get this. Do you think our pastor hears from God? "Be faithful in your walk, and I will provide for you." Hallelujah. Be faithful in your walk, and I will provide for you. "Have I not said that not a hair on your head would perish? Therefore, lift up your voice in a troubled time, and let the world hear what I have said, saith the Lord." At the beginning of this year, there was an urgency. I didn't talk with Tim about it or anything, but I just had this urgency in my spirit to the point I began bringing my own little tape recorder with me to the services. I knew it was imperative this year that we capture. When I say we, it was just me at first. I knew it was important for Gary that I capture right away whatever the Lord was saying. Not that it wasn't important in previous years, but there was just an urgency. And I knew I couldn't wait till 6 months later or a year later. I needed to capture it, study it, go over it myself. Well, Tim and I got to talking, and I happened to mention that to him, and he says, "I've had that same kind of urgency." So now, with some help of the people in the congregation who'd rather I'd not name them, that these prophecies are being transcribed right away. And they're still working on the delivery system. Well, I'm anointed spit tonight. But anyway, they're still working on the delivery system, but eventually we'll have all the kinks and the bugs worked out of it, and they're going to be available quickly by email in different ways. But already, these from Sunday are out there. You can get them tonight on the way out when the bookstores open. I would take them, read them. If you look at me, they're highlighted. Before long, I'm going to go over these every day until they're like bone of my bone. Because usually the Holy Spirit will give me personal instructions. You know, normally, have y'all noticed I'm not real prone to call you and straighten you out? Have y'all noticed that? You know why? Holy Ghost is too busy trying to straighten me out. I'm trying to walk my walk with Him, not yours anyhow. I'm just trying to get you in there with Him. He'll straighten you out. Except for Daisy, she's already got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I would recommend that you get those. Yes, sir. Now I brought one other one. I'm going to read this quickly. It won't take long, and then we're going to let you go. Y'all, are y'all excited?
Yes.
I can tell we're coming into a new season. We're coming into an anointing. At least Gary's having revival. I'm having a coffee-free revival all of a sudden. There has been more change, and I mean the chronic kind, starting with my 56th year, I'm 58 now, than probably in the 30 years before that. It's just amazing. Well, not 30 years. Anyway, 25 years before that. We're coming into something major. He's bringing us into the revival, people. I feel like we're right on the cusp. Right on the edge of something. Hallelujah. I want to read you this one. I call this one spiritual maturity. I just believe that it will speak to you. Now again, this was in my private time with the Lord. You would call this probably a face-to-face communication. This is a while back. This was when somebody had given me some tapes from men of God in a previous century their testimony was that whenever God's presence was coming, when they wanted them to be quiet and listen, one of them, I remember, he said he would hear a certain song in his ears. To him, he was hearing it audibly. Nobody else around him would hear it. But to him, it was like a signal. Okay, da-da-da, you have to receive a message from the Holy Ghost or something like that. And for him, that's fine. Okay, and if that worked for him, glory to God. Hey, in the Old Testament, they used a fleece. Okay? But now I give these not so much to bring you under the same word, but to give you samples from how the Holy Ghost straightens Gary out. Not that he'll say exactly the same thing to you, but he's going to say something to you. Anyway. Again, Holy Ghost talking to me. This was in the year 2000, if you want to know when it was. Because I was listening to those tapes, and your mind tends to expect certain things when you hear those. And the Holy Ghost says, I am the molecule changer. I could make every molecule in your body tingle with excitement as a signal of my presence. I could make every hair on your body stand up on end as a signal of my presence. I could bring blinding flashes of light, as with Saul of Tarsus, as a signal of my presence. And I could cause your ears to hear sounds, the sounds of bells or angels or music, as a signal of my presence. But the Lamb has chosen that you be not dependent upon such fleshly signals. Rather, He desires that your maturity progress beyond those things, to have sensitivity in the Spirit to know when my presence comes. For we are of the same essence. We are of the same fabric. Now get this sentence. The Spirit within you is spawned of the essence of God. Did you get that? It is the Lamb's desire that you flow in the things of the Spirit as readily as you do now in the things of the natural. For you are a spirit, born of your Father, spawned from the last man, Adam, Jesus Christ. You are a spirit, and you are to operate in the realm of the Spirit as a man full grown who is comfortable in that environment. Depend not upon fleeces, nor upon signals in the flesh. Seek not lights, sounds, feelings, for dependence upon these things would only cause your progress to be slowed. But continue sowing to the Spirit as you're doing now. What he was talking about, this was at the ugly building. He was just talking about spending lots of time in the Word, lots of time in prayer, lots of time in worship, spending time sowing to the Spirit. Continue to spend time in my school, and I will train you to walk as comfortably in the realms of the Spirit as you have walked comfortably in the realm of the natural in times past. Now just Don't we see Jesus walking that way? Just as comfortable in the realm of the Spirit? Whose image are we being conformed to? Same image. Now you got to understand, can you imagine how new these thoughts were to me in the year 2000? Haste is not the order of the day, but steadfastness and diligence is the order of the day. Slow progress is sure progress. Trust me that I am bringing you as rapidly as possible into the maturity of the realms of the Spirit. Now that does not mean that it's still not up to me how much time I choose to spend with Him. What it does mean is every hour that I do choose to spend with Him, He takes that hour, same thing with you. And I mean, you have got God the Holy Ghost on your personal case, bringing you as rapidly as possible into the maturity of the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God.